Welcome to the Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Delaine MD, the podcast for healthcare professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, gain control, stop emotional eating, and live a fuller, more authentic, and happier life, Dr. Delaine Vaughn offers sustainable strategies and the support you need to overcome the challenges that undermine permanent weight loss. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. Today we are going to be talking about natural and artificial pleasures. I'm going to fight the urge to say pleasures in a very seductive tone for a while, so bear with me. Hopefully by the end of the podcast, I'm just ripping it off as pleasures, but we'll see how it goes. Before we get started, I want to let everybody know that this is going to be the last podcast for the Delaine MD Weight Loss Podcast. I will be launching a new podcast in the next few weeks directed at managing diabetes naturally without medications or insulin. So it will still be under the Delaine MD business name, so you guys can always search that if you want to find that podcast and find the new information that I'm putting out. But this will be the last weight loss podcast I do. So at least for the near future, this will be the last podcast. So certainly, if you are listening to this in 2021 and you have questions regarding the information you've gotten in some of these podcasts, do not ever hesitate to email me at delaine@delainemd.com and I'll answer any questions that you have. So, all right, so today on to pleasures. So first off, I want to give props to my first coach. This is a concept that she first taught me. I've gotten so much use out of this and so much insight from it. I thought it was really important to share. We are going to talk about natural versus artificial pleasures and kind of what the difference is between those. Many of us find that we use these pleasures, both natural and artificial, to buffer away emotions. Most of us find that after a little bit of critical evaluation, we frequently prefer to use the artificial pleasures to buffer, and this for a few reasons. One, they are easy. They give you a concentrated release of the dopamine or the neurotransmitters that feel good. And then they also are nearly unlimited in their availability to us. So that's why when you listen to this, you'll probably find that you do participate in some of these artificial buffers, and you're not the only one. All of us human beings do it. Because remember, our primitive brain always wants to do what's easiest, what's feeling the best, and what avoids pain, right? And if you have something easily available and you can get it unlimitedly and you don't have to put any effort into obtaining it, that makes the primitive brain the happiest. So let's review buffering real quick. I know I've done podcasts on this before, but since we're talking about this artificial pleasure business, it really ties into buffering because, again, we use buffering to avoid our negative emotions, right? So when we avoid these negative emotions and experiences, we do this by an external mean. That's what buffering is. My teacher and mentor, Brooke Castillo, teaches this concept in depth. She describes buffering as something that we do that has a negative consequence to us to avoid fully experiencing our lives. Some of these things that we do are overeating, overdrinking, overexpending, really anything done in excess and at our expense. So some examples of buffering: you have a bad day, you get in a fight with your spouse, you receive an unexpected bill in the mail that's really expensive, you receive some bad news regarding your health, whatever the bad thing is that happened, you then go out and try to numb this down. Maybe it's with drinking. Maybe you go out with some friends. Maybe you go and down a pack of Oreos or chips. Or maybe you go and participate in some retail therapy in order to decompress or try to deal with this. Many of us as parents will have an overwhelming day with our kids. They're whining, they're bickering, they're persistently asking for things. And all we want is a little wine to make it better. If we can't have a little wine, we end up in the pantry with a bag of chocolate in our hands or maybe chips or whatever it might be. And then we tell ourselves we deserve this, that we earned it, that we need it. But when we look at it, let's look at what we actually deserve or earned or need. What you're earning is weight gain and a hangover or a headache, right? We mask these things as self-nurturing or self-care. But in the end, the net impact on our lives and our health is negative. it has a negative consequence. In the moment, right after the argument with our partner, or we receive the bill, or we receive the bad news, or when the kids are bickering, and we turn to the glass of wine or the beer, or we go shopping on Amazon, or we eat some Oreos or some chips, maybe right then there is some release of the tension that's built. But the next day, you're nursing a wine headache or a hangover. When it comes time to pay that unexpected bill, you're short on funds because you went and did retail therapy. Or a week later, you're still trying to lose the extra pounds that you gained from the food you splurged on that day just because you were having a bad time. In general, you extend the net negative impact in your life from just one day when you had a bad event to 2 or 4 or 6 days. That's where that net negative impact comes, that net negative consequence in your life. So today I want to talk about the ways that we buffer. These are artificial, or some of them are natural pleasures, but they're subtle. You might find that they're a little unexpected. You're like, no, that's not artificial. That's not buffering. But I want to contrast the natural version of these experiences with the artificial versions of these experiences. Things that give lasting feel-good emotions or lasting feel-good accomplishments, what I call lasting feel-goods, not just immediate feel-goods that are gone quickly and have these net negative effects on your life. Also, if you find that you are doing some of these things or even many of these things, please do not feel like I'm calling you out. I'm certainly not. But if any of these ring true in your life, I want you to take a moment and think about what you might be avoiding or maybe sacrificing by participating in these artificial pleasures, and then ask yourself, is this really how I want to show up to my life? Is this really how I want to do it? Okay, so natural pleasures, most of these kind of pleasures will give you a natural hit of dopamine. Artificial pleasures are the artificial equivalent. Most of them give an artificially concentrated hit of dopamine, or allow avoidance of the work associated with that natural pleasure. So that, again, that primitive brain gets to experience the pleasure without putting the work forward, which, again, is easier, avoids pain, seeks out feel-goods, right? And then I'm going to talk about the net negative effect of these. I'm going to use the first easy example that you guys have heard me talk about 1,000 times over. When you think about food, you have natural foods, berries, bananas, green beans, broccoli, whatever it might be, you release a certain amount of dopamine with all of these foods. Anything, chicken, all of it, you release a certain amount of dopamine. The artificial equivalent of this, of course, is processed foods, right? Candy, baked goods or chips, any of those things. That's an artificial food. It's not something we find in nature. When we eat those foods, we get this artificially concentrated hit of dopamine. And of course, the net negative impact is unhealthy, whether it be weight gain or whether it be too much insulin or whether it be too many bad fats and you end up with heart disease, those kinds of things. So that's pretty straightforward. Some other natural pleasures are creation. Whenever we create things, it gives us a feeling of accomplishment. That accomplishment feels good. There's a dopamine release associated with that. Some of these creative things that I'm talking about are building something or crafting or knitting or maybe writing a book or even writing a chapter for a textbook that you've been asked to participate or contribute to. Painting your room, a room in your home. Again, it's creating something better. It's improving something that was already there. Or maybe even painting for art. All of these things, again, are examples of creation, and it gives us this feeling of accomplishment. The artificial equivalent to this is video games, right? You can go through a video game and you can spend 3 hours, although I will be honest, I never play video games, so I'm really talking outside of maybe my knowledge base here, but you can play a video game, feel quite accomplished, but never having actually done anything. The net negative result, of course, is wasted time that you could have been actually doing something real, creating something real. Nobody's ever going to use your video game world to live in, right? Other video gamers might enjoy it, but you're sacrificing reality, building something that you could really hold on to and have. Another example of this, of an artificial equivalent of creating and forms of accomplishment, is shopping, really. You go out, you exchange money for something, and you get something in return. Again, this is easy, Our primitive brain likes to gather things. It makes us feel like we have more, right? We love this. It's a primitively driven thing. But when we have more of already having more, it's not really anything needed, right? 10,000 years ago, you wanted to have more things because things were scarce. Now, most of us find we have houses full of things we don't really need or use. You know, and that negative effect of that, of course, is that you have things in your house that you don't use, you're cluttered, you're constantly having to clean or shift around your stuff, but you've also wasted some money or spent money that you didn't really need to spend, all with this hope of feeling accomplishment or creating, like we've created something and we've attained something. Another example is earning an honest day's wage, working hard and getting paid what you're worth, versus earning something through gambling. Gambling is an example of an artificial pleasure, right? Lots of people will get dopamine hits from gambling. These are also sometimes the same people who like to do like extreme sports or dangerous things, right? Some amount of that is good, right? Some amount of gambling was necessary for people to take risks on innovation as we have, you know, gone through the industrial age and developed iPhones and computers and all of these other things, right? Some amount of risk is necessary. But when you're spending hours and hours and hours at a casino with money you may or may not have had to spend on that, avoiding actually building anything in your career or building anything in a relationship, that's where gambling kind of gets to be a deal and a bad thing. The other part of that is when you earn something through gambling, when you win money through gambling, all of that's based on luck. It's not really reinforcement of any of your merit or hard work. Sometimes this leads to mistrust and self, not having your own back. Because you know, if you don't have the luck on your side, you don't know that you can reproduce those results. Sometimes this leads to feelings of insecurity in yourself. So earnings and gambling are another examples of natural versus artificial pleasures. Sex. You know, I love talking about sex on this podcast. So sex in a healthy relationship gives a feeling of connection and intimacy. The artificial equivalent to this, of course, is pornography. Again, you get these release of oxytocin and dopamine hits into your brain in either of these, but because porn is easily available and unlimited, you can have this constant just bathing of your brain in these feel-good hormones without ever actually putting the effort into developing and forming these intimate, authentic relationships with another human being. Again, the net negative effect here is the lack of relationships and the lack of intimacy. Another example is building meaningful relationships with real people who are in your life. That's a natural pleasure. We feel good. Remember, back 10,000 years ago, we were much more likely to survive if we lived in a tribal setting, right? So we want to have these meaningful relationships. We want to have these connections. We want to have people in our tribe, on our team. The artificial equivalent of this is social media and building relationships on social media. We spend all this time interacting on social media, and in the meantime, we're missing out on the opportunities to actually build real meaningful relationships with people, human beings that you can touch and talk to in your own life. You spend so much time online, we tell ourselves it's the same, but in the end, we've missed the opportunity to build relationships even with our kids because we're spending time online. So that's the net negative impact. Another example of a natural pleasure in our life is living an emotionally healthy life. So when we spend the time to truly bereave the loss of a loved one, we come out on the other side and we are more robust in our authenticity, robust in the knowledge of ourselves, right? We come out on the other side stronger. A lot of times we don't want to do this. And so we use artificial pleasures like drinking or drug use to numb those emotions down and not have to do it, not have to deal with it. We feel better because we're not looking at those negative feelings, those negative emotions, right? Of course, the net negative health impact are hangovers, liver disease, drug addiction, and you never really get rid of whatever the negative emotion, the bereavement, whatever it is you're trying to deal with. So I want to say a couple things. People use drinking and drug use in all of these arenas, right? You're unhappy with your spouse, so what do? You start drinking every night until you fall asleep. That's not necessarily, I mean, that is not living an emotionally healthy life but it's not addressing that deeper, intimate relationship that you're trying to achieve or you would like to achieve. People really apply the alcohol and the drug use to a lot of different areas. I just wanted to make a clear distinction between being social or being mentally healthy and putting in the effort to be mentally healthy versus just numbing it out with alcohol and drug use. And then lastly, I want to point out that not all of these are going to apply to everybody, right? I really could care less about video games and gambling. That is never on the table for me. People be like, no, you just gamble with like a limited amount of money. You just take $20 and that's all you gamble with. That's how you control it. I don't need to control it. If I've got 20 bucks, I'm going to take it to the mall and buy a cheap piece of jewelry or some cute socks or something, or I'm going to save it. I have walked in, I think, to two casinos in my life and I turn around and walk out. That's not my thing. So some of these may not apply to everybody. Some people, all of these will apply to them, right? It just depends on where your value set is and kind of where you get those dopamine hits from. So, again, these artificial pleasures are typically skipping out on the work that goes into achieving these natural pleasures, right? Because our primitive brain, wants to do everything by the easiest means possible. So, again, in food, the natural foods are great, but they take a lot of preparation or hunting and gathering, right? You gotta go to the store, you gotta get the food, versus the artificial pleasure that's available with processed foods. That's like in your cabinet and it can stay there for weeks. You can just go keep getting that bag of chips, right? Not only is it easily available, but you get this huge dopamine hit from it. You skip the work and you feel fabulous. Your primitive brain is in seventh heaven, right? In exchange for this, though, you get weight gain, hyperinsulinemia, and the increased risk of chronic diseases like heart disease and diabetes, all of those things. That's your net negative, right? You have this case of creation and accomplishment versus like playing your video games. There is work that goes into creating something, right? There's physical labor. If you're going to build a toy chest for your children so they'll have it for the rest of their life, you got to go get the raw materials. You've got to cut them. You've got to nail them together. There's sweat and sometimes blood that goes into this, right? It's work. It's the same thing if you're going to paint your home. There's taping off the room. There's getting the paint. There's all of this. You know, if you're painting a room in your home, it takes work. Even if you're researching a chapter for a book that you're wanting to contribute to, there's work that goes into this. And all of this work, this creation, this accomplishment can be falsely achieved by being in a video game and being on level 2070 or whatever it is. You skip all the hard work, but you still get this feeling of accomplishment. But it leaves you without anything to show for it. You've spent a day video gaming, you've wasted time. That's your net negative in that case. In the case of earning versus gambling, again, you're not actually trading your work, your hard work, your time, your skills for any of your earnings. This removes the value from those earnings. If you're only getting the earnings or winning from luck, you're skipping the work but reaping the rewards. And in general, that feels inauthentic to most of us. And that's why it's looked at as some of us look at it as a net negative. Spending time looking at porn, you skip all of the effort, all of the work, and building that intimacy with another human being. And it leaves you with wasted time again that could have been spent building an authentic, intimate relationship. But not building those relationships, of course, is your net negative. Investing energy in building relationships with people on social media platforms. Again, you skip the work of getting out of your home, getting out to meet people. You skip the courage of meeting new people and, you know, being vulnerable. You skip the work of making polite small talk. Now, I get this. Some people are like, I don't want to have small talk. I think that that's surface level. There's no depth there. There's no authenticity there. But learning the politeness of small talk is really an invaluable life skill. And certainly I've seen it in some of these younger kids. They don't have that skill. Not developing that alone is a net negative. Not only the lack of developing good intimate relationships with the people who are in your life, your family, your parents, your kids, your friends, your neighbors. And then avoiding our unpleasant thoughts and feelings by eating or drinking, of course, skips the hard work of processing those emotions. But the net negative is that just because you eat or drink them away doesn't really remove those emotions away from your experience, right? So that's where you still have negativity in your life. You're not really gaining anything from that. So often we participate in these artificial pleasures so frequently that we believe them to actually be like normal or like our hobbies. And maybe sometimes they are just hobbies, right? How will you know the difference? I'll tell you how. If you're missing out on authentic, real life experiences, that's when you know you've got a net negative going on. That's when you know that it's a problem. So, what are some natural experiences or natural pleasures that we can experience that we have yet to pervert in our society, right? That we've yet to mess up? What things can you do that are truly self-care when you've had a hard day or you'd like to indulge yourself, but you don't want to get an artificially concentrated hit of dopamine in your brain? So let me give you a few things. Hygiene, and I don't mean just like flossing your teeth. I mean like a nice shower or a warm bubble bath. So if you're not sure if this is real, let me give you a couple scenarios. If you've ever been on a 48-hour call and not had a shower in that 48 hours, you know that that first shower is totally amazing. If you've ever been camping or out on a long hike, you know what I'm talking about. My husband and I, actually, a few years ago, we went on a hike in southwestern Colorado. We went to a place called Chicago Basin. We actually took the Durango to Silverton train. There's an old historic train that goes between Durango and Silverton. We took that train off, and if you ask them kindly, they will drop you off halfway up that train. That's a 2-hour train ride. They'll drop you halfway up at a little town called Needleton. Don't get excited. It says it's a town. It's not a town. It's just a sign. But they'll drop you off there, and then you can hike 6 miles, and I want to say it's like a 3,000-foot elevation change. Maybe it's 1,000 feet. I don't know. It was uphill, a lot of uphill. But again, for 6 miles into this basin, and then you can set up camp. It's a beautiful area. It's absolutely wonderful. If you ever get a chance, go. There are 4 14ers, so 14,000 feet peaks from that basin that you can access from that basin. It was a beautiful hike. We hiked in. There was, of course, no shower facilities. There was a nice creek. I did not bathe in that. And then we hiked back out. So I think we were there for 2 nights and then we hiked back out. When we got off that train back in Durango, I'm sure we smelled like farm animals. It was horrifying. That first shower after that long camping trip was amazing. It was fabulous. So if you're never sure, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, the showers, by all means, take a weekend camping trip where you don't take a shower and then test it out and see how you feel after that first shower. I think it definitely is self-care at one of its finest ways. Another example is exercise. Of course, you release natural endorphins. They make you feel amazing. It's also improving your heart and lung capacity. All around, it's a win-win. Resting, and I'm not talking necessarily resting in a hammock, although that likely is some good self-care also, but I'm also actually talking about getting a great night's sleep. Going to bed, making sure you sleep until you're no longer tired, and getting up. That is true self-care, and it truly does feel amazing. Another example is getting a professional massage. Also, great self-care that feels great. And then meditating. Again, meditating is active relaxation. It decreases your cortisol levels, it decreases stress levels, it improves your mind function. Great way to take care of yourself. You get great results when you do it consistently. And then lastly, reading a book. Reading a book's actually wonderful. You get an element of relaxation with it and an element of accomplishment with it. It's truly self-care at its best. So, try some of these things. Certainly, if you have any questions, holler at me. Let me know. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Look for the new podcast from Delane MD coming out. It will be mostly addressing issues with diabetics and naturally controlling or reversing diabetes, type 2 diabetes. So, if you're interested in that or know anybody who is interested in that, please direct them to that podcast. The first episode will be out in 2 weeks. All right, you guys, take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Delane MD Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Dr. Delane Vaughn. To learn more about life and weight coaching with Dr. Delane Vaughn, visit www.delanemd.com.
Ho ho! Scheiße, wo ist mein Kerl?